Tell those kids that they need to be in Sunday school and church and impress upon them how important it is for Wednesday night, especially teachers. You be here on Wednesday night and Sunday morning for Sunday school and also for Sunday night. Very, very, very important for all the teachers, for all the leaders of our church in being established in a position in this church of leadership, that they need to be here for Sunday morning for Sunday school, especially if they're teaching on Wednesday night, these little ones, same ones here on Wednesday night, the little ones here on Sunday morning. And we certainly want our teachers here, if they sit not sick, and they can be here, because that is a desperate, desperate thing we have today, is for teachers to be in a place where they should be, at the house of the Lord, because this should be one of the most important things for all of our leaders, for all of our teachers, to be at the house of God, because you are leading little ones. If you're not here, they know that you're not here, and they understand that things more important to you than being in the house of the Lord. So that is very, very important, very important. This morning we'll be in Matthew chapter 13 again, Matthew chapter 13, dealing with these seven parables dealing with the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. The seven parables in chapter 13. You need to read this entire chapter to get all these together and read them as one. I'm taking these parables, so we need to understand each one of them as we put them all together and see what Jesus Christ really teaching his disciples. Jesus Christ had been teaching his disciples for some time. The multitude of people been following Jesus Christ. He himself was performing miracles, great signs and wonders, and thousands of people, multitudes of people was following Jesus Christ. And then Jesus Christ says, pick up your cross and follow me. At that time, they begin to leave Jesus Christ as rats leaving a sinking ship. They went away from Jesus Christ. Once you start demanding on people, as Jesus Christ says, pick up your cross, there is something different starts happening in their life. If you're going to make a demand on my life, it is the same thing today in Christianity. If you're saved, fine, good, and everything's going good. But when you start making a demand, people will leave by the multitudes. They do not want no one to make demands upon their life. But you are bought with a price. And that price is the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and he has all right to demand for your life and my life whatever he demands for us to live for Jesus Christ. It's not no longer what I decide to do. He's already decided it for me. It's just a matter of my obedience to what the calling of my calling is, and that also yours today. We must understand that Jesus Christ, he's the one that leads us and guides us. But Jesus Christ, as he began from then on not talking to the multitudes, but he began to talk to his disciples or the inner group, and he began to talk to them in parables. Parables reveals and parable conceals. He did not want the rest of them to understand, but he wanted those who are saved to understand, to follow him. So there's parables, the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. Remember the seven of these parables you need to understand. You will understand what's happening the day that we're living in. This chapter has been a great chapter to me as I look around our churches today. I look around our country and our world today and see what's happening, and you just seem like you can't get a finger on it. What's happening in our churches? I talk to other pastors, how people have no commitment as they should have commitment. What's happening to our leaders in our churches today? What is happening today? These parables. Well, if we understand these parables, we won't have this confusion that we have today and won't have to worry of what's happening, because Jesus Christ began to speak in mysteries. And the mystery is something that you and I or no one else will ever know or understand unless he reveals it to us, no matter how intelligent that you are, no matter how much studying that you do, unless the revelation of God reveals it to you through the Spirit of God, you will not understand it. Paul says, I show you a great mystery. And Paul was talking about the mystery of the church and the church age that you and I are living in this day. Whenever Jesus Christ was here on this earth, he began to start speaking about the church age. From the time that he was here on this earth, he went away, go back to heaven, he's coming again, and that is the church age. And then he started talking in parables. Parable now is a earthly story with a great heavenly meaning for them to understand. And that's what he began to preach in. Well, I began to tell you about the first chapter, the sowing of the seed, about the four different types of soil. And I asked you, say, have the gospel failed? And many people today said, well, the gospel must be failed. Look at the churches today and the pews that's empty across America today and the different churches we have, our Baptist churches and other churches today, the people that claim to know Jesus Christ. What's happening to them? Is the gospel failed? What's wrong with the gospel now for 2,000 years? And then Jesus, he said, now listen, look, there's four different types of soil, and we've been through that. There's four different types of soil. There's nothing wrong with the preaching. There's nothing wrong with the Bible. There's nothing wrong with our churches. But we look around today, we see in our United States and our world today, and you see what such a mess that we're in today. Well, we know that Jesus Christ speaks the Word of God because He is a living Word of God. And He says there's four types of soil. There was nothing wrong with the Word of God because the seed is the Word of God. The sower was a son of man. And we know there's nothing wrong with those two. But now it's the hearts of the people that He sowed the seed into. And there was four different types of hearts, you understand. Four different types of soil. But only there was only one. There was only one type of heart that received the Word of God with gladness, and it began to grow. That tells you the other three, have they heard about the Word, that some that even come to church occasionally, that some would even come and be a member of the church and be baptized, but yet you see they left like ducks out of the water. They fly away. They don't come back. They just hear the Word of God for a little while. They have no interest in the things of God, and we find out these are the other type of three souls. They're not saved. They just heard the Word of God. They might even come and cry for a little while. They may act like they want to come back for a little while. But Jesus says these four types of soil, there's only one type of soil. It was good soil and nothing wrong with the seed and nothing wrong with the sower, but it was the hearts of mankind. Last week we talked about the tares. That was the second of these parables. We talked about the wheat and the tares. And we know what that represents, the wheats and the tares. Talks about the wheat is the people of God. The tares, you know, is the people of Satan. Understand they are two families in this world. There's two families. There's a family of God and there's a family of Satan. How do you get to be a family of Satan? Well, you're born into the family of Satan. That's how you get to be in the family of Satan. How do you get to be in the family of God? You're born again in the family of God. I mean, you're born again. People don't like to hear that. They say, you know, that God's the father of everybody in the world. He is not the father of everybody. He is their creator. He is not their father. Only way you can call him father is by a new birth experience in Jesus Christ, which you might be able to call Abba Father. But the tares, he said, leave these tares alone or the wheats alone because there'll be a great judgment day and we can't tell who the tares are. They look like they're saved. We don't know who's saved and who's not saved. They don't wear a cross on their back, but God does. And God says, I'll be the one that does the judging. I'll send my angels to reap at the latter times, and we will gather in these old tares, and we will throw them in the lake of fire, and they'll burn forevermore. So that second parable that we understand about the parable of the tares and the wheat was talking about the hypocrites that we have today, the counterfeit Christians. Now the third parable here is about a mustard seed, and this is apostate Christianity. Let's look now and see, because I have studied this many, many years now, and it's always been a little hard for me to understand until God reveals it to me and reveals it to you. And here it says now in Matthew chapter 13, verse 31 and 32, only two verses of scriptures in this parable. And he says another parable. Now, I want to tell you about the end of time. Nothing caught Jesus Christ by surprise. He said, I want to tell you disciples through all the time of 2,000 years and right on out until I come back, here's what you can expect. Here's what's happening today. Here's what has been happening. Here's what happened today about the four types of soil, about the hypocrites in the church, the wheats and the tares. Now, he's going to tell you about the mustard seed, about this Christianity there. It's just something that just should not have been because it's called apostate Christianity. Another parable put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in the field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becoming a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Let us go again to the Lord in prayer. Father Jesus, we just want to thank you for the great privilege today. Father, that everyone under the sound of my voice, oh God, we just pray that every word is seasoned with grace and mercy and love this day. Father, I just pray they come, Lord, from you today for them to understand how great it is to know, God, that you love every one of us so much. And Father, the plan of salvation is whosoever will come, oh God. And we pray today that they will come, oh God, and understand, little and big, old and young, that they need salvation. Father, that heart needs to be a good heart. But be prepared, Lord, by the word of God, and Lord, by the Spirit of God, they may understand. Help our understanding, oh God, to see what's going on today, knowing that you have not failed, the gospel have not failed, cannot fail. But Father, we know it's the hearts of the people as we grow colder and colder, as you begin to get ready to come back after your children. Again, we want to thank you and praise you, God, in your precious name of Jesus Christ. Lord, for everyone that's here, Father, we want to thank you and praise you, God, for what you're going to do in our midst today. I know that you're going to work miracles as you usually do every time, so I want to thank you and praise you this day for the privilege that we have, God, for everything that's happening here this day, that we may honor you, a true and a living Savior, this day. And again, we want to say amen and amen. It's amazing what people believe today. It's just amazing to me what people believe in, I call it, in Christianity. There's a lot of isms today. It ought to be wasms, I can tell you that. There's a lot of them today. It's very painful to see churches, and even our denomination, has been removed from the Word of God. They have been removed from the Word of God. Tens of thousands of people begin to follow these people. Even on television, you see these great monstrous church. Tens of thousands begin to follow them. Now, what happens to most of them, they have a head full, but their heart is very, very empty. Now, as we see this, we know that has the gospel failed? No, it has not failed, but it is a false gospel today. I'm going to tell you, easy believism. Say a few words and therefore you're saved. It's not salvation with your head. God never intended it to be. It's salvation with your heart. It must be a heart-changing relationship with Jesus Christ, not bypassing your head. Apostate religion today in our churches all across America today. The Bible is true. And if it is true, and it is true, how did all this happen? How did everything happen today? I'm telling you what, we're living in a time whenever people is denying the very Word of God. They're denying what Jesus Christ said, and they put all the other issues in the Word of God, and they're just forsaking what God has really, really said. Jesus Christ talked about this 2,000 years ago, and he said, now this is what's going to happen. This is what's starting to happen right now in my days, and throughout the time until I come back after my church in the rapture, you can look at this apostate church, you can look at this apostate Christianity, and it's going to begin to grow and grow and grow and be abnormal. So what we are seeing today is this parable here of what's happened to this mustard seed, this last day, this apostate Christianity that we call it. The mystery of this mustard seed. Now, for years I didn't know what, I could not understand this. I go out in my garden, I see a mustard hill. I see this mustard hill and I could not understand. I said, well, it must be a different type of mustard in the Bible than what we have here. No, it's the same type. It's a mustard seed. It tells us about this, a small seed. Y'all know it, if you sowed mustard, how small, very, very little that seed is, a mustard seed. Now, as we use this in the base of the contents that it's talking about, all of these parables dealing with the same thing, the ages that we're living in today. What has happened today? As we look in these parables and see them all as one, we see the seed, we see the tree, and we see the birds. To start with, it's strong declaration of what it's really, really talking about here about this seed. This seed, the parable now, first parable I dealt with, parable 1 and parable 2, is talking about the seed. And it said the seed, we know what it's already was. That is the Word of God. It talked about the gospel. What is the gospel? That's the sowing. Jesus Christ sowed the seed, and the man is sowing this. The sower is Jesus Christ himself. And we know where he sowed it at. He sowed it out into the field, and the field is the world today. So the mustard seed is a special, special type of seed, but it's a strong seed, because the strength of this seed, we know a mustard seed itself today is very pungent. It's hot. I'm going to tell you, it will kind of sting. It will kind of burn. It's a seed that you can use for many things. A lot of us are older people. Have you ever heard of a mustard plaster when you had colds or flu or pneumonia? I don't know if that did any good or not. You had all that stuff, you put it all over you, plastered all over you, but I know one thing, it'd take the hair and hide all off when you pull it off. I don't know if it done any good or not, but I've had that put on me. A mustard poultice, a mustard plaster. This is what it's talking about. The seed was ground up and it would burn. It was burned, very pungent. It was burned. I don't know what all about it. I don't understand all about it, but I know that we used it. Well, the gospel needs to be zealous, and you know what? Need to be exciting, and like a mustard seed, you know. Need to be bite pungent, you know. We need to understand that. But look at the size now of this mustard seed, the very size. It says, verse 32 again, the least of all seeds. Now, when the gospel started off, was the gospel very small? The gospel was very, very small. Started off with just a handful. The disciple, you know, he was at the sea of fishing, and Jesus Christ went by calling his disciples. It started off very small. But it's very powerful because the word of God is very powerful. I know it's the little jitterbugs, they gave me a little old cross that God loves you. You know what I found in the Bible? Of all the profound statements in the Bible, let me tell you one of the most profound statements in the Bible. You need to write this down and get it down good. It says, God loves you. Ain't that something? Because the Bible, it tells me so. That is one of the greatest statements in the Bible. So we see this this mustard seed, how the strength of this mustard seed, the size of this mustard seed, but also it's the secret of this seed, because the secret of the seed, it has life. It's the word of God. Jesus Christ said, the word I speak unto you, they are life. The Bible says we are born again, not of the corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible by the word of God. And that liveth and abides forever. The word that's in you will live and abide forever. The word of life. Not man's ability. As I'm here today, it's not my ability. It's God's word ability. The secret of this seed. Jesus Christ said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a mustard seed. We're talking about the kingdom of heaven. Now, the responsibility I have today is tell you about it. Your responsibility is to accept it and hear it as God has told you today. Point number two, there's a strange transformation take place. And this tree that we're going to talk about, a very strange transformation taking place. A strange development have happened here. Verse 32, it says again, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and become a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. That begins for our imagination to find out what's happening. Well, it's a herb in the garden. But it becomes a tree. There's something that's very different now. It's very, very abnormal. I could not understand this. I just worked on this for years about this tree. I plant garden. I see this mustard. I could not put it together as a tree. But it's talking here now about a parable. This tree, now there's something wrong in my garden. There's something wrong when I plant a mustard plant and it becomes a tree. Now, is it a mustard? Is it a herb? Or is it a tree? There's a difference in those two. A herb has no wood cellulose in it. It has no wood tissue in it. And these herbs, as they die, you got to replant your garden over and over again. But a tree has life in it. It'll come back up. If you cut it down, it'll sucker and it'll come back up. You don't have to worry about replacing it. A tree. Now, it says, now, a herb under normal conditions and normal circumstances do not come a tree. Would you agree with me? That's what the Word of God's talking about. My mustard plants in my garden under normal circumstances do not become a tree. It does not become a tree. Now, I want to tell you why it's true that it is. That they don't come a tree. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, you jot these down or you can turn to them. I'll read them. And I'm going to tell you why and what's happening here. Because herbs has never, 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 God never intended for a herb to become a tree or a tree to become a herb. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 11, it says, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herbs yielding seed, and the fruit trees yielding fruit, after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, an herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. God never intended for a herb to become a tree. Never intended for a plant to become a tree. God made a difference between those plants and a tree. A herb never produces a tree, and a tree never produces into a herb. There's a strange, weird development in this parable that Jesus is teaching. Something that is not meant to be. That something is just not meant to be. It is something that is perverted. It is something that is abnormal. It is something that we're talking about here about Christianity now, and there's something that's perverted, and there's something that is abnormal. A development of apostate Christianity is what it is today. We can find out in verse 32 again, as I've read, there's a tree and there's a birds, and they lodged in the branches of the tree. Now, in Daniel chapter 4, we'll tell you about these birds. And you know, in Daniel chapter 4, in verse 20, he saw a vision. In Daniel chapter 4, in verse 20 and 21 and 22, oh, Daniel, this vision he's talking about, and you'll find out it'll all come together in just a few minutes. Daniel chapter 4, as we have this great vision, and Daniel interpret this vision, and it's talking about old Babylonian. Remember what the Babylonian was? You know what? That is the cult religion of the day. That's the cult religion of then, and that's what it all represents. It says anyway in verse chapter 4 of Daniel and verse 20, as he began to tell about this symbol of the apostate religion, Babylonian kingdom, it was itself. Daniel says in 4 and 20, the tree that thou sawest, he's interpret the dream now, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much. And in it was the meat for all, under which the beast of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heavens had their habitation. It is thou, O king, that thou groweth and become strong, for thy greatness is grown, and reaches unto heaven, and thy dominion to the ends of the earth. At that time, the Babylonian Empire grew and fed everybody in the known world. It had grown to be a great and tremendous tree. And it says the birds there, the fowl, had their habitation there in the tree. We find that at the end of this, he's talking about the empire. And he find out in Revelation is the end of it. Revelation chapter 18 and verse 2. And it says, now, and he cried mighty with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is falling, and has become the habitation of the devils, and the hole of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. This Babylonian Empire, we find out this religion is coming to an end in Revelation chapter 2, but throughout the years, we know what this symbolizes. The Babylonian Empire is a symbolized of apostate religion of the world today. It's growing. The picture coming together now, the monstrosity of the development now of this apostate religion is coming together in this mustard seed today. Wait, what is happening? Something is very abnormal. It should not be. Something is abnormal. Something is not meant to be. Well, look around the day that we're living in our churches today. You look around at Christianity that calls herself Christian today in the Christian field of all different types of denominations and all different church. I'm going to tell you there's something that's very, very abnormal. I'm going to tell you it's abnormal. There's something wrong that God did not intend for it to be like it is today. You better listen to what Jesus Christ is saying. And I'm going to tell you what, it'll weed out a lot of people that claims they're saved. Because there's something that's abnormal. It's not right, it's perverted. It is perverted. Far from removed from the Word of God today. They're not living what God says for them to live out into the Word of God. This is not Christianity, what we're seeing today. This is not Christianity. This is abnormal for a Christian, that they call themselves Christian, to act and behave and have no dedication, have no commitment to the things of God. Let something happen in our country and see how fast, and in our community, and see how fast they leave the church. They have no commitment. There's something that they say they're saved, but there's something that's terrible, terrible wrong. It's abnormal. This tree, false religion, apostate, abnormal. What we're seeing today is not true Christianity, I can tell you. It is not true Christianity. the super mega churches of our country this day. I'm going to tell you, these great corporations and this Mr. TV, the liberal churches today, denies the Word of God. They deny the Word of God. They do not take the Word of God as whole. I'm that something is wrong. But this did not surprise Jesus Christ. He told them 2,000 years ago exactly what's happening today. Open our eyes around us, and we're doing everything we can to try and to build in the gap. You cannot build in the gap of something is abnormal. It's abnormal. It's just not right. There's something wrong with people today that claim to be saved. There's something terrible, terrible wrong. Everybody's going to heaven today. You can't find anybody that's lost. All's going to heaven today. Something is terrible, terrible, terrible wrong. Something that was an herb has become a tree today. Oh, it's getting worse all the time. Jesus looked down and he saw the herb becoming a tree, apostate religion today. Then we have this Satan habitation. It's called these birds. And that's the reason I call it the devil's birds. In verse 32, which indeed is the least of all seed. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and become a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. And that's the reason I call them the dirty birds. False apostate religion. A herb become a tree. Birds represents the power of darkness in these scriptures. All through the Bible, you'll find that the power of darkness, these dirty birds, these apostate religion today. Matthew chapter 13, it tells us this in this same chapter. We've already been through this first parable. Chapter 13, verse 3 and 4 is what it says about the soil that I talked about. It says in verse 3, and he spoke many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he had sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. And the fowl, the same word fowl there is for the dirty bird we're talking about in the tree that lodged there in that tree, came and devoured them up. Then verse 19 tells the results of it in that same chapter 13, 19. When any one heard the word of the kingdom and understood it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in the heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. He is talking here now about this word fowl, same thing for bird, same thing we talk about the mustard seed. The bird is a power of the devil himself, these nasty birds, these dirty birds. People have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. They have a form of it. Why? Because these nasty birds have picked away everything. Church members, they're denying the power of the earth. People who are religious, but are they saved? Are they saved? If they're lost, they're worse than they were before because, you see, they're under the power of Satan. Revelation again, chapter 18 and verse 2, and he cried mighty with a loud voice, crying, Babylon the great is falling, and become the habitation of the devils and the hole of every foul spirit. And the cage of every unclean and hateful bird comes, and they're lighting there in the branches thereof. Babylon religion now is for the birds, is what it's talking about. Tens of thousands today are caught up in what we want to call this false religion. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, it tells us there's a wide way and there's a narrow way. It says the wide way, it says many be there that go in. There's a narrow way, it says few might find it. And I'm going to tell you, we're seeing that wide way open up today, and many, many is going that way. They don't want to come the way straight and narrow is the Lord, and they don't want to come that way. They're not going to come that way, but there's nothing wrong with the gospel. There's nothing wrong with the Word of God. There's nothing wrong with the Spirit of God. There's nothing wrong with the Church of God. I'm going to tell you, it's the hearts of the people. It is the hearts of the people. And Jesus said in these last days, many, many shall say unto me, I've done this and I've done that. He's going to say, depart from me. Depart from me. These last days, many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrine of devils. The devil, he has a will, and that is to send as many people to hell that he can. He had rather send you to hell from a church seat than any other place in the world. Understand that? He had rather send you to hell from a religious standpoint, because he sends more people to hell, Satan does, from a religious standpoint than any other way. Yes, there are a lot of people on Skid Row. There are a lot of people on drugs. A lot of people down and out. But I'm going to tell you what, the most people go to hell go to hell because of some type of religion. Religion. He's up to his neck in religion. It's religion all over the world. You look what's happening in our other country today. The Islamic faith is nothing in the world but a satanic Islamic faith that brings people down to a place called hell. And look at the cults we have in our country and the Islamic faith we have in our country today. It ain't a thing in the world but a cult religion. It is a devil religion, and he sends more people to hell through a religion than any other way, and he wants to keep doing that today. You better be sure in exactly what you're dealing with this day. The devil is after you. Now, we need to understand about these old spiritual birds, and I'm going to tell you what we really need to do in the last few minutes. We need to do some spiritual bird watching today, and that's what's wrong with people. Cannot tell these spiritual birds. I'm going to tell you, these spiritual birds, they have landed now on a cross without the blood. They have landed throughout churches today on the cross without the blood. And Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 says, "And almost say all things by the law are purged with the blood, and without the shedding of blood there's no remission of sin." Because these birds, these devil birds, have landed on the cross, and they've picked out the blood. And now from a lot of Baptist churches today, a lot of churches today, they don't want to hear about the blood. Don't talk about the blood. That defends people. You won't hear this through Mr. Television say, "Now listen, if you don't accept the blood of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ on the cross, and where they nailed his hands on that cross and his feet, and where the blood come out, and the blood come out of the side of him when he put that spirit in. If you don't want to talk about the blood, if you're not of the blood, I'm going to tell you what, you're lost, and you're doomed for hell." You won't hear this from these television people to tell you about the blood is the only way without the remission of sin. There's no forgiveness of sin without the blood. It was a sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the altar of the cross, that reason that we're saved today. But you won't hear this because these dirty birds have picked away the blood off the cross, and now we have a cross without the blood. But not only that, you know what, they have salvation because everybody's saved today. I'm going to tell you what, there's so many people saved today, you'll hardly find the lost person today. Is everybody on our church roll saved? I'm going to tell you, these dirty birds have lit on salvation, and now you know what? We have salvation without the Lord. But that's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says that if thou confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, shall believe in thy heart that God's raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, not with your mouth speaking some lies. He said, not with your mouth, but your heart believing to righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. I'm going to tell you what, they've lit on salvation today, and everybody's saved. Boy, everybody's a Christian today, but you see, they are Christian without the Lord, because these dirty birds has picked it away, and that means they're not no Christian at all, because you see, there's all type of ways to be saved today. I mean, you don't have to have Jesus Christ. You can just follow the doctrine of the Catholic Church and be good all the time, and you know, that's what they've done. They picked away the blood out of it. Or you know what? You might just follow the Jehovah Witnesses around now and tell other people about Jesus Christ and how good that he was. Or you know, might be the Mormons this day. You know, they knock on the door and tell you, you know, how good that you could be and follow Jesus Christ as examples. And I'm going to tell you, but they don't mention the blood. They don't mention about Jesus Christ. And then they say other religion today, all type of religion today. You can go to heaven from any different direction you want to, go to the dirty birds. I'm going to tell you what, they've lit on salvation. Now we have salvation without the Lord. But I'm going to tell you what, they have landed on hell itself. Because you see, we have hell today without reality. They say that you just go to hell and burn up and it's all over with, if even such a thing as hell. But I'm going to tell you, Luke says, in Luke 16, 23 and 24 says, "In hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in the bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he might dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in torment in the flames." That don't sound like to me he's burned up, does it? Sound like he's burning forever and ever. I'm going to tell you, but they have lit on the reality of there's no hell. There's no hell. But I'm going to tell you, the Bible talks about hell. I'm going to tell you, hell is a real place. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people that have never come under the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're going to a place called hell. I'm going to tell you what, they're going to be a lot of Baptists in a place called hell. They're going to be a lot of church membership in a place called hell. I'm going to tell you, just because that you're a member of a church don't save you. I'm going to tell you, they are a place called hell. It's a reality. But you see, we have people now, these old dirty birds is lit on people now, because we have people without about purity. It don't matter how you live. You can live like anybody. You can do anything. You don't have to come to church. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. Live any way you want to, because God said, He saved me. Actually saved me with my head. He saved me. Now I'm going to heaven. And people without purity. In Romans 6 and 12, it says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey it, but the lust thereof. And He says, also, neither yield your members as unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instrument of righteousness unto God. But I'm going to tell you what, people without purity today, it don't really matter how you live, but I'm going to tell you not all that. He has landed, these old birds has landed on churches without compassion. We just don't care. They've picked away the compassion out of the church. Matthew 9 and 36 says, and when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. But just leave me alone. I'm going to do my own thing, and I ain't worried about nobody else. We have now churches without compassion. I'm going to tell you it's worse, and I could go right on and right on and right on. But you know what? Now we have Bible without trust. They have took this Bible. It's called the King James Bible. This is a translation Bible, I'm telling you. It was translated from the Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic. But they have got so many translations out now. They have picked this word apart. If you ask someone what is the best translation, they ain't got no ideas. They come one out now, takes all the him out of the Bible. It's not about him. They say they. They have got all type of translations out today. Now we have a Bible without trust. We have a Bible without trust. John 20 and 31 says, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. I want to tell you, that is a word of God. I don't care how they translate with all these other translations. That is the word of God. It is written. It is written. But now, you see, we have a Bible without trust because, you see, old Satan knows if he can get this word, he can dilate it so many different times and cut it so many different places. You see, they won't really know what's the best word. And that's what these translations does. They carry you further and further and further and further off. I'm going to tell you, homosexuals, you know they got a Bible also. I mean, there they got a Bible also. The women lived, you know they have a Bible also. I mean, they're all type of translation because we have Bible without trust. What do you know about the trust about it? But you see the Christ without distinctions today. Out this nation. John chapter 14, it says in 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father except by me. Now, Jesus Christ is the only way, but you see today we have Christ without distinction. There's a bunch of Christs out today. You can go through any type of religion that you want to, but Jesus Christ says, I'm the only way. I'm the only way. Sound it out. Sound it straight. But we have to start with now. I'm going to tell you what. We got church members without conversion. You know what that means? That means they're just as lost as a Georgia mule. Church members without conversion. 2 Peter 1 and 10, Peter says, therefore, they rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fail. You better make it sure. There's so many people depend on so many things, but we have this today. Church members without conversions. It's not hard to find them. But then all this boils down, these old dirty birds, to now the day, the society we're living in. A society without conscience. A society without conscience. That's what we see and happening today. 1 Timothy chapter 4. It says, now the Spirit speaks expressly, that in these latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrine of devils, speaking lies and hypocrites, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, having the understanding dark and being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, they don't have no feelings no more, having given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work of uncleanness with greediness. What's happening in our country, in our world today, Jesus said it's all going to boil down to the devil's birds. That's what happened today. We don't have no conscience today. Our conscience has been sore with a hot iron. That's the reason people don't have no conscience about what's going on. It don't matter to them anymore. Why is our society being destroyed? The handwriting of God is in the Word of God has told us what is happening. You know, instead of the sound of church bells ringing on Sunday morning now, I want you to listen to what's going to happen to people. The stadiums are full of people. I mean, the roar of the stadiums. Any type of sports activity happens on Sunday, look how it takes for people to leave the house of God and go to the stadiums. But not only that, I'm going to tell you the presence of God is no longer primarily the factor in people's lives. Jesus said it's coming. We don't stand firm on the word of God or God. We don't have the commitment as we should have, God says. Do we compromise? Do we compromise? Or do we stand firm on the word of God? Do you? What does it take for you to miss church? What does it take for you to compromise and let your family know that? There was a man that started a fish business. It says, fresh fish for sale today. And a man says, why in the world? I could improve that sign. Why in the world are you saying fresh fish today? Just drop off that word today. You sell them every day. So he made him another sign, fresh fish for sale. Another man said, well, I don't see why you want to have that word sale, because they know that you're in business for selling fish. So he dropped off the word sale. Another man said, well, you know, you catch your fish down there. Why don't you just drop off fresh? You're not selling fish that's not fresh, are you? So he dropped off the word fresh. So the only word he had left was fish. And the sign, one man said, well, why do you even have a sign for? That's what you in business for, selling fish. Why don't you just do away with the sign completely? He said, besides that, I know you're selling fish because I can smell them 2 blocks away. You know what's happening? Compromise here, and we compromise here, and we compromise here. I'm going to tell you, this is abnormal. I'm going to tell you, church activities today that we're having in our church is abnormal for Christianity. It's abnormal. It's a tree. It's not a mustard plant. Say, I don't like that. I'm telling you the truth. Not only this, but everywhere we go, because you see no commitment to, as a child of God. What's wrong? What does it take for you to miss a Sunday? What does it take for you to miss church? What does it take for you to miss Sunday school? What does it take? What we have today is something abnormal. It's just not right. And having to compromise, why are we compromising? We know where our blessings come from, do we not? And I'm going to tell you, in our country we're living today, we have compromised and we have compromised and we have compromised. And that's the reason we have a weak and anemic country that we're living in. And that's the reason we have a weak and anemic churches today. And I'm going to tell you, that's the reason our whole family and our personal life will be weak and anemic, because we have took down the signs. Not the day. Don't have to worry about the fish. Don't worry about fresh. It comes down to nothing. And after a while, you know what happens? It stinks. And we have compromised away. I want to tell you, what's happening today is just not normal in Christianity. We are just not normal. We're so abnormal. Ovatz Habner said, if this church would ever get normal, people think we're abnormal. We're so subnormal. But it don't have to be that way. We need to get back and get what God intends for us to get out of what God said for us to do. Today, I hope that God has blessed you, and I hope you understand this. The day we're living in an apostate day. The churches today, God never intended for it to be like this for Christianity. Man, it's hard to tell the difference today, isn't it? But I'm going to tell you what God says. It's going to be that way until I come back. And Jesus Christ is going to come back. I don't care what Bible you read. He's coming back. Today, as we come to the song of invitation, Brother Wayne, Miss Dorothy, we're going to sing a song. And I want to thank you so much this day. This meant so much to me, and I hope it's meant so much to you, because it has helped me understand everything that we do the best that we can. But a lot of times it's not us, it's the person that's hearing the word of God. We cannot make people. You can visit people, you can beg people, you can pray people, but I'm telling you, if their heart is not right, they're not coming. They're going to be abnormal. Just not right. It's abnormal. It's just something wrong. And what it is that mustard plant is turned into a tree. It's abnormal. As we stand and sing,